We're here to shine a light on the forgotten generation. This is the Modern Gen X Women podcast, and I'm Jackie Gadeen.
And I'm Amy Bishop. We're business and career coaches who work with women like you. And we are pissed.
You should be too.
Because we have not been seen or heard, and that changes now.
Listen up, because we're going to share with you insights and ideas to make these years our best years.
F you, midlife.
When you've won 4 Emmy Awards and have been nominated for 2 more, you can take a break and revel in your success, right? Nope. Today we speak to a true powerhouse who has a deep love for her family and her Italian heritage and is a top-notch professional, also a health and fitness expert. She's warm, empathetic, and so down to earth. Antoinette Biorti is a weekday reporter covering breaking news and is the weekend anchor for News 12 Long Island. She's reported on everything from court cases, crime, community issues, societal concerns, health and wellness, to heartwarming profile stories about the resiliency and tenacity of Long Islanders. She's a positive force in business, but also represents News 12 at countless community events, connecting her with her listeners, with her audience, with Long Islanders. But reporting and winning Emmys is just a part of Antoinette's busy life. She's also a certified spin and group fitness instructor and certified health coach. She's won 2 gold medals in the WBFF World Beauty Fitness and Fashion Show, competing in the transformation division after losing 30 pounds, gaining muscle, and transforming her body. And most importantly, Antoinette is a wife, mom, dog mom, and she loves to eat, travel, work out, cook, make homemade wine, take pictures, and play several musical instruments, including the accordion. We loved talking to this amazing Long Island woman.
I feel like Antoinette could be our new best friend. I want her to be our new best friend.
I know. I want to go shopping with her and take a fitness class with her. She is just a true delight.
She is just such a powerhouse. You know, it's exciting when you see someone on TV, right? So here
for
on
years.
Long Island for years, she's kind of she's a local celebrity. She does the weekend anchor. And, you know, when you see someone on TV, you feel like there's this real sense of celebrity. Well, let me tell you, she is the most down-to-earth, humble, warm, smart, amazing woman. She's just fun to talk with. Yeah. We had laughs. We were inspired by her. I loved her story about when she told us she was little and she practiced with the brush in her bedroom, pretending that she was interviewing people, like, and I've got the bed right here. And what do you think? And like, it just was adorable and so heartwarming.
When we talked with her, I think the thing that was so amazing to me was just when we got on a Zoom, so we don't video this to use, but we video it so we can have a real conversation. And we got on the Zoom and she was recording from her friend's house and she had this like t-shirt on and her friend's like, you can't do that. You can't record like that. But she was so real. She didn't care. There's no pretense. And for someone who has such status to just
really be
connected to people is incredible. And you don't want to miss this episode. If you want to really feel connected to someone as a human and see how being successful doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice being human.
Yes.
This is the person that you need to listen to.
And the one thing I'll just add that really stands out for me is, I mean, this woman has won 4 Emmy Awards. She's nominated for 2 more. She's won gold medals in like world championship, right? Like big deal. And I asked her, one of us asked her, what was the moment you knew that you were successful? And she said, when I knew I made my mom and dad proud. And that to me is just
a true Italian woman.
Yeah, yeah. Like
really,
it just blew my mind. I think so many women can just really.
They can, but I think being Italian,
yeah,
I feel like
something
there's a
about
sense
it.
Of
yeah,
it
there is a little bit of it. It was just wonderful. And yeah, and I love that she plays the accordion. Like only an Italian would play the accordion. That I know because we had one too.
All right, ladies, without making you wait any longer, please welcome Antoinette. Hello, Antoinette. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We are great. We're thrilled and delighted to have you here at the Modern Gen X Women podcast. We've both been watching you on News 12 for ages and ages.
Not that many ages. Let's not all date ourselves.
All right.
You are a local celebrity who has been reporting the news amazingly here on Long Island, and you just won 2 more Emmys. So congratulations on that. It's just so exciting. You have 4 Emmys now. You are someone who is revered, and yet here we are turning the tides on you, and we're interviewing you. So how does that feel?
Very strange. Yeah, I usually do the interviewing, and for me to have to answer questions now, it's so strange. But I welcome this, and I think that what you guys are doing is amazing, and I can't wait to be a part of this.
We're really delighted. I'm curious, actually, what were you the kind of person when you were younger, like as a young girl, young woman, were you always looking to go deeper and ask more questions about people that you met? Like, where did this reporting come from?
Well, I have to say, like, when I was little, I actually didn't even know how to speak English.
Wow.
I was raised by my Italian grandmother. And my parents came here in the 50s and 60s, well, late 60s, actually, my mom came. So she took care of me. So I didn't know English. So I went to school only knowing Italian, and there were no ESL teachers
wow.
at the time for me. So one teacher, my kindergarten teacher, told me that I needed to go to the library and start reading books and learning English that way. So my sister took me to the library, and I would read 3 or 4 books a week, and I would just do book reports. And I learned slowly but surely how to speak English, how to write, how to read. And so I can't say that, you know, right off the bat, I was interested in journalism. It was more learning how to speak and write in English first.
Right.
First things first, right? So I did that. And so little by little, I learned, how to speak, English. And by first grade, I was, you know, first, second grade, I was pretty much okay. And I learned how to speak very well. I mean, you know, when you're a kid, you absorb this stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't have an accent, so that's good. Maybe a Long Island accent, but
we have them. We laugh all the time.
We laugh.
People were like, are you from Long Island? They say, are you from New York? What do you mean?
Yesterday, I did a presentation to a group, a national group. And I'm like, I apologize in advance for the accent because it's bad. And I know it is. What a great foundation for becoming a reporter to really start with the building blocks of communication when you think about it, right? Like this, how many people get into the industry and they don't have that as a foundation. So I love that story because it's really a true fundamental.
It is. Yeah. I had to start from the bottom, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, just English first. And then eventually, I mean, I loved it so much, it just became like second nature. So then instead of reading books all the time, I would read books, but then I would say, you know what, I could make up my own stories.
Mm.
So I would just start writing various stories just out of my own imagination. You know, obviously back then there was no Google, there was no ChatGPT. So,
right.
So I would start, you know, writing stories just that I made up myself. And then I would just show them to the teacher. And at the time, I remember in fifth grade, specifically, my teacher was like, oh, wow, keep going with this. And I thought, okay. So I would just keep writing and, you know, making up stories. I still have some of them. I found them in a binder.
That's one of amazing.
Have you ever thought about publishing
Trapper
them?
Keepers.
You should publish them and share them with the world. I mean, it's just because it's so interesting to hear people's stories, because we don't know what we want to be when we grow up. And there are women that we work with in their 40s and 50s who still don't know what they want to be when they grow up, right? But we don't know. But sometimes when we take a look back, we can see inklings of who we are, or who we became, or who we're becoming, or parts of our personality that start to shine through. So were you, while you were obviously a very good storyteller and liked telling stories and liked reading stories, were you also inquisitive?
Yeah, very inquisitive about everything in life. I mean, I just remember always, you know, wanting to know more. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the fundamental, okay, who, what, when, where, how, why.
Yes.
Like, you know, you have the pin. But then other than that, I was like, but what makes a person tick? You know, and you could take any example of anyone, you know, like what makes them proceed in this way? What makes a person who they are? What types of things happen in your lifetime that make up the foundation of who that person is? And then the layers and layers you have to peel back. That's the part I think is interesting.
Well, it's fascinating also because it's so multifaceted, right? And so you probably have to look, you really get a sense of the dimension of the person or the situation even, right? Because you're looking at it from all different angles, I would imagine.
Yeah. And when I interview people, I mean, I'm a detail-oriented person. So I look at everything. I look at the background. I look at the person's face. I look at their reaction to me, their body language, and what they say and how they say it. I'm very conscious of that. And I have to be. I think it's all part of, you know, reporting the story and knowing and being conscious of right. their reaction, because then I have to react to what they're saying and what they're feeling. And right. then I feel like this is just me. I mean, some people are different, but I feel what they feel. And sometimes I take it home with me.
Sure.
You know, obviously, like when I'm driving home at night, I think about my stories and the people I interviewed. And I think, God, how are they going to go on with their lives? Whatever it is that they've been through that day, because that's really what I'm getting. I'm getting a slice of their life.
Right.
Taking it with me, writing about it, telling people about it. And then I'm thinking to myself on my way home, oh my goodness. And then I start like praying for that person.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
If they need it. Like, yeah. I pray that they make it, or I pray that, you know, whatever the outcome is, maybe, you know, they'll be all right. You know,
right, right.
sometimes, you know, I follow up most of the time, actually, I follow up with that person. They become my friends. They're on my contact list. I mean, Long Island is big, but it's small.
Yeah.
To me, what I love about that when I hear you say that is, you are a celebrity, and you are a celebrity here on Long Island. And when people become celebrities or have that kind of fame, to know that you're so connected to people still, and that you are one just like everyone else, is such a beautiful gift that you give back, because so many people don't feel heard.
Mm.
And so for you to be the voice for them, or the beacon to help them share their voice, is such a wonderful gift. And so when you think about some of the stories, is there one or two people that have kind of stayed with you throughout your career that have made such an impact on you?
Oh gosh, I have to really think about it, only because I have to narrow it down. There's so many that I've felt for over the yeah. years. And I mean, it's good and bad, you know, like
right.
heartfelt stories that, you know, like give you hope, and you right. say to yourself, wow, you know, it makes you look at life differently.
Yes. I would yeah, imagine also.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I would imagine also that you're really giving them such a gift as you're reporting, because you're seeing people when they're probably their most vulnerable. And here you are, like, getting this, right? Like, this information when they're, and it's not only is it like this traumatic event, now it's being broadcasted, right? Mm-hmm. And so to be interviewed by someone with such compassion must really make people feel cared for in such a difficult time.
Yeah, I feel like if you do, you know, and truly show your compassion, it's not fake, it's real,
right?
Then it helps to, you know, like spill, or not spill, but what's the word? I would say more like be more open with you.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
And that's what they would want too, because then they want to be heard. So why not be able to be open with me while I do the interview? And so I look at it as a two-way, you know, conversation. And that's what I tell people when I interview them. I said, listen, you know, let this be a conversation. I don't have anything written down as far as questions. Mm-hmm. I do this organically.
Yeah.
Let it just flow. And whatever you say, if you don't want to use that part of, say, no, Antoinette, I really messed up there, I don't want to say that, then fine. We'll edit that part out. We'll take it again. That's fine. I want the person to be comfortable. I, you know, the last thing I want is for them to walk away and say, oh man, that I really regretted that. You know, I'm putting myself in their shoes. If they don't feel comfortable, I don't, and reverse. Right. So I would want to be interviewed by someone who understands me, mm-hmm. who gets my situation. And again, I may not know what their situation is because maybe I've never been in their situation. So it's all part of like more, you know, like sometimes when people say, oh, I sympathize with you or I empathize with you.
Right.
When you empathize, you know.
Right.
Because you go through it. But sympathy, I get it, but I don't totally get it.
Right.
But if you explain it to me, I will do my best to tell your story authentically.
Yeah. It sounds also that, so I'm fascinated that you said you don't have any questions. So do you just kind of show, like you just, did you always not have questions? You must really rely on your intuition and your ability to connect with people.
Yeah, that's exactly what I go on. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, they'll ask me, oh, what are your questions? You know, can I have your questions ahead of time? And I said, I'm so sorry, but I don't do that.
Right.
You know, sometimes it depends if it's, you know, like a police chief or like a commissioner, maybe they might need certain questions beforehand, like an outline, mm-hmm. especially if it's like an investigative story, then I get it by all means. But if it's a person, you know, that I'm interviewing, I'm just thinking to myself, well, let it just happen. I don't know what I'm going to ask because it all depends upon your answers.
Right. And what I'm hearing too is one of the things that we teach and we train on for organizations at Modern Gen X Women and MGXW Consulting is exactly what you're talking about. And we call it relational intelligence. And it's that ability to read the room, that ability to parrot people so that you're creating psychological safety for them. And the fact that you're letting people be vulnerable, but saying to them, we don't have to use something you're not comfortable with, allows them to probably share so much more of that story with you because they can then think about it and consciously process, okay, if there was anything in there I didn't want. And that's also great because obviously, News 12 gives you that editing power, which I know isn't always the case in news. So that's wonderful that you've created that kind of relationship within the organization you've been at, where you can say, you know, we're going to cut this out and this is what I promised them.
Right. And listen, I've been doing this for 23 years. At this point, like I kind of know how it goes and what needs to be part of the story and what doesn't. I'm sorry, that's my email.
I'm sorry.
So, you know, I work with the person. I don't want to embarrass them and, you know, but I want to be able to tell their story, like I said, in the most, you know, truthful way possible. So, you know.
I have to share something with you that I just had this memory and I think you'll appreciate this. I was a teenager. I was coming off the Long Island Railroad and someone from News 12 popped a microphone under my now, and it was George Bush, the first one. This is how long ago it was. And it was his first 100 days in office. And they wanted to know what my opinion was. And I said, I have no opinion. And do you, because I didn't, I was a kid. And I remember family members were calling the house and they were like, the woman with no opinion.
I can only imagine. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's funny because, you know, when it's called man on the street, MOS.
Okay.
So when we go up to people and whatever's making news that day, let it be, you know, whatever it is, like you said, George Bush, or, you know, with the presidency or something, we ask for people's opinions. And I just go up to anyone that sort of gives same impact.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, okay, you know, what do you think about this? And then sometimes they're like, leave me alone. I don't want to know anything. And then sometimes they talk to me. It depends. Yeah. Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Depends on whether their hair is combed, whether they look good. I don't know. It just, sometimes I just go to grocery store parking lots, or I'll go to, you know, the train station. It's where a lot of people congregate.
Right.
And sometimes people talk, sometimes they don't. But yeah, I didn't realize, and you know, you don't know this because you don't hear from the person, but you know, realize when they go on TV all of their family sees yes. them and repeats. Yeah. So they get to see themselves over and over. And I'm sure they get phone calls. And, you know, yeah. but when something airs on News 12, I mean, it's great in a way in that for businesses, let's say, for example, they get a lot of calls and visits after we do a segment on them, which is wonderful.
It's fantastic.
If you want to shop local, you know where to go, you know, and I, you know, I think that's the greatest thing, because when it comes to local businesses, why not, you know, shop in your own backyard instead of, you know, shopping somewhere else?
Yeah. And right. supporting the local business, I think is one of the things that we've really focused on too, is just being more local in our business, because the internet and Zoom has made our business national and international, but there's something amazing about the community of Long Island. So I want to kind of switch gears a little bit, because you've achieved incredible success. You're the most down-to-earth woman that has created a success. When did you know that you arrived? I mean, you start off and you're doing smaller places, right, where you're doing a little bit of newscasting. But when did you feel like, wow, I made it? Do you remember that moment?
I think maybe, I mean, I'm going to go really, you know, basic here, mm-hmm. but I think it's more from my parents. Hearing from my parents, I'm so proud of you. I can't believe like you did this, and that you got an Emmy, and that you got all these awards, and that you're on News 12, and that, you know, you become a success. I mean, it was always, you know, embedded in me that I had to do something. You have Italian parents. They're very,
we understand.
We do.
they're on you. Like wine on rice, you know, they're on you. So I knew I had to do something, but in a way I knew I had to, because they came here seeking the American dream, and they started with nothing.
Right.
And my dad, who was a construction worker, came here, and he tells me the story, you know, with whatever, $20 in his pocket, just like many people who do come to New York. And he built a business, you know, and he became very successful, and he had the business for over 30 years, and he retired. And then my mom, you know, she was a seamstress to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was raised by my grandmother most of the time. So for them, I saw their struggle, and I knew, well, I've got to do something. I've got to become a success, you know, because they start out with nothing. So now they're giving me a foundation of, hey, go to college, you know, make something of yourself. Let's go. So I guess maybe the moment I arrived, so to speak, would be when my parents, you know, told me, wow, you know, we're so proud of you.
Yeah, I could see how that's
beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that, because it is important. Mimi and I are both Italian, and I came from a big Italian family as well, even though I'm an only child. And my dad was like, you know, my mom and dad, you could be anything you want. And they, you know, they did all of that and pushed me. And I've always been driven for the same reason. And even though my parents weren't first generation, there still was struggles when I was growing up. And I always, my thing in my head was, I want to buy my mom a Jaguar. Like, that was my thing in my head. Like, that's what I want to be able to do. So I can appreciate that. And I remember when my parents have said, I am so proud of you. And there's nothing, that's what we want, right? We want our parents to be proud of us. And it doesn't have to be success, right? It could be anything that, you know, you're a good human. I'm so proud of how kind you are. And that to me is why it all goes around, right? And that whole humanness that we are all connected with.
There really is something special, right? When we're acknowledged by our loved ones, because I think sometimes we are always striving, right? And I think as humans, maybe you're always looking for acceptance of people out there, right? Because you know your family is going to love you. And yet when you are, you know, they really recognize you for your achievements like that, there is something that's so much more rewarding than if anyone off the street were to give you a pat on the back, right? Like, and I think also because they really know what the struggle was, you know, everyone else just watching TV, you could say, oh, you know, she's just great at what she does. Like, they know what you've gone through to get where you are. I'm curious, growing up, was there a female reporter or journalist that you idolized?
You know, I did. I loved Sue Simmons on Channel 4.
I remember her.
I remember Sue Simmons? Of course.
I loved watching her. And it's funny because, you know, I would watch cartoons as a kid, you know, I was 7, 8 years old. But then I would intently watch her on the nightly news, like 5 o'clock, you know, around the, you know, I would be setting the table or whatever. And then I'd watch her. I'd sit and watch Sue Simmons. I was like, wow. She's so good.
Yeah.
Like she's on top of things. And I don't know. I just thought, wow, if she could do it, I could do it. I don't know. And then I thought, I didn't know at the time, I thought that they memorized the news. I didn't know that they had a teleprompter. And I thought, wow, that's she do that. Like that's a lot of memorizing, but obviously I soon figured out it was a teleprompter. But she went on to be successful. And then, you know, some things happened in her career and she's no longer on the air. But she was always someone that I watched and that I emulated. Because then after I would watch her, I'd go to my room and practice with, you know, a hairbrush. And I would do a live shot in my bedroom. I would practice in front of the mirror and say, right here, we have my bed. We have my stereo. Yeah.
I love this. I mean, fantastic.
It was that simple. And you know, there are interns that come in and they're like, oh, you know, what, how did you learn? I'm like, I just would practice in front of my mirror. You got to look at yourself. You got to look at your facial features and your eyes. People concentrate on your eyes and you know, the emotion that you bring out when you're on TV. You know, you're not just a robot reading and talking, you're feeling, you know. So that's what I always tell them, like, you know, just be yourself, but also feel the story. Don't just write it. Don't just report on it. Feel it, because really when you feel it, people on TV, you know, on viewers, I should say, people watching you will feel it too.
Exactly.
They want to feel connected to you and the story. And it's an energy thing. We talk a lot about energy, but when you put out really good energy, then people are attracted to that. Right. Mm-hmm. And if it feels real, and I think also it's changed so much, right? It is very buttoned up still, the news, but the authenticity is so much more. It's not as robotic as I think it once was, in all honesty. Now it really is about feeling and putting yourself in those situations. You know, you said something before about absorbing people's energy. And, you know, Mimi and I talk about this a lot because it is hard. Even for what we do, when we coach women one-on-one, we're absorbing a lot of their energy. How do you cleanse yourself of that? What do you do? Do you have a process for moving through that, for grounding yourself, for releasing it back into the world?
Yeah. I always tell people my therapy is working out. I love working out, and that might just be taking a walk or that might be doing weights, you know, whatever it is that day, but that's my release, my therapy, my everything. Cause without that, like I have too much like stored up here in my brain. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, how do I get this out? How do I, you know, feel better, you know, taking a deep breath and, you know, knowing, okay, well, after work, I'm going to work out, I'm going to do my weights, I'm going to do my cardio, and, you know, everything will be fine. And of course, you know, seeing my family, you know, too.
Of course.
Always the therapy, you know, depending on the day or their moods. No, I'm kidding.
But, it's great to have that release. And the physical release is so, because then you get the endorphins and then you also get to shed that extra energy that comes, right? Because sometimes I process the same way. I go and I work out. And sometimes I can't get it out any other way because that physicality almost exhausts me too much to be able to think about it. And we do need to transition into this because you are such a powerhouse. You know, we're talking so much about you in the news and your career.
But that's only a small piece of what you do.
Small sliver of you and the amazingness you are. Can you share with our listeners a little bit or a lot of it about this incredible fitness journey you went on? And so just to be clear, Antoinette is won awards and shows for fitness across the country, right? And so can you share a little bit about that? Because this only happened a few years ago. And, you know, we're not 30. We are Gen X women. So what, you know, a couple things. I keep saying, you know, but a couple things. One is, I love that you didn't think it was too late. And I would, because a lot of women think that whatever it is it's too late. So I love that. And I'd love for you to share that. And then also kind of your process.
So with a fitness journey, I guess I have to start a little bit before, like even a couple of years ago, but after I had my son's 17. So after I had my son, you know, obviously after you're pregnant, you try to shed the weight after you have your child. And so what I realized is a lot of us don't have that education for food. Like, what do we eat? How much do we eat? How many calories are we supposed to have? How are we looking at macronutrients? What are we doing? What are we doing with our lives when it comes to eating? So I joined Weight Watchers. And believe it or not, I loved Weight Watchers just even for the education.
And good.
They're great. And I lost 20 pounds when it came to that. So that was like the start of my journey. And then after that, I thought, all right, let me join a gym. Let me, you know, start working out. But then I was like, but I don't know what I'm doing. So I eventually found friends who were more educated than me in weights and in, you know, doing cardio and weights together. So a friend of mine, Fernanda, she helped me with that. And she and I would just work out together. You know, like when you have a buddy.
Yeah, accountability partner.
It works. Yeah, yes. It works so much better. So she taught me a lot about fitness, and I would just tag along with everything that she did. If she did a 5K, I did it. If she did a 10K, whatever, I did it. So I just followed her. And then I wound up thinking, you know what? This is really fun. I love this. I love doing spin class, boot camp, you know, whatever it was, Pilates, you know, I just did it. And I saw that she became a spin instructor. So then I was like, oh, I want to become a spin instructor too. So I became a spin instructor. And then she did a fitness show called WBFF, World Beauty Fitness and Fashion. So I watched her journey in doing that. And I thought, ooh, that looks like fun. It's a lot of work.
I can only imagine.
Especially with your schedule.
Oh my goodness. Let me tell you, girls.
What was the preparation like that?
Yeah. What was the training like?
It's a challenge. It's a huge challenge. So first you got to get a fitness trainer, right? So first you got to get someone to help you with your food and then someone to help you with your workouts. So I got a trainer to help me with both of those things. And she would give me, you know, what I needed to do, what I needed to eat for 8 week sessions, 8 weeks. So it took me a year to lose 30 pounds and increase my muscle mass. So when I thought to myself, all right, it's going to take me time because even though I'm fit, I don't have six pack abs, you know, so I got to get me some six pack abs now. So how do I do that? Well, it's a lot of it is what you eat. It's people say 80-20, 80% in the kitchen, 20% workout. I sort of agree with that. Maybe 75, you know, whatever. But anyway, so I started to do the workouts. I would measure my food on a food scale. I would know exactly what I was eating throughout the day. It was all planned out. I had to do a lot of food prep. Mm-hmm. I did it. And I think it was December of that year, 2018, I believe. Yeah. I did a regional WBFF fitness show. So I did the category of transformation. There's many different categories you could put yourself in, you know, 50 and over, 40 and under, 35. I just did transformation. So I think, I don't even know if there was an age limit to tell you the truth. I know that there wasn't like 80-year-olds in the same category. No, it was like 40s, you know, 40 to 50 years old. So I got in that category and I went to, I think at the time it was in, oh yeah, it was Atlantic City. And I won that one, the regional for transformation. And then I was like, oh wow, this is great. You know, I can't believe it. You know, all this work and yes. I got a medal and wow, this is awesome. And then they're like, oh, we have another surprise for you. You qualified for Worlds.
Worlds?
Worlds? What's that? And they're like, oh, you don't know what that is. I'm like, no, it's WBFF Worlds. So that means it's another year away. It's in Las Vegas, and you'll be going up against everybody in the world in transformation. So now
right.
I'm like, oh my God, am I going to be able to do this? So yeah, a lot of pressure. So I remember that December, I just, when I got home, I ate whatever I wanted. I had a brownie, I had an ice cream. I had everything that I wanted so badly for a whole year I didn't have. And then I started my training in January again. So, so then I went, actually Worlds was in August. So maybe it was 9 months later. So I went to Worlds in August in Las Vegas, and that was amazing. I mean, people from Australia, Japan, like everywhere. And so I also won that one as well.
It was my God. That is amazing.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So, what a great influence you are on women to be able to say, this is something you want to do. You have the discipline to do it, regardless if you won or not. I mean, winning is an amazing feat, right? But just that you stuck with it and disciplined enough and felt that this was really fitting for you is wonderful.
What I'm curious about, I'm just amazed because it sounds like there were like 8 week sprints. Is that right? Like
it was 8 weeks, and then your food would change for 8 weeks, or your workout, you know what I mean?
If you
keep doing the same thing over and over, you're not going to see change. You're going to hit a plateau. So then it was 8 weeks, and then she would give me a new program for another 8 weeks, and so it would go 8 week increments. And then it would change, you know, I'd have more carbs sometimes and then less carbs, and you have to sort of shock your body because otherwise it won't change.
Right.
But it was such a journey. I've never looked so good as far as my body went during that time. I mean, I look at pictures now, I'm like, oh my God, did I even realize? Cause you know, when you're in your body, you always think that you're the other person you were before. Like, oh, I'm a bigger girl, you know, or whatever. But then you look in the mirror and you're like, no, I'm not. I lost 30 pounds. Like,
yeah,
I need to get clothes that actually fit, you know? And then I look at pictures now, I'm like, wow, that I really did look good for 44. Wow.
Amazing.
You know, it was
amazing.
I was in the best shape of my life at 44. I would never think, you know, in a million years that would be the case. But if I could do it, anyone can do it. I mean, it's just having that discipline and also knowing what the goal is. What is your goal? And being focused, super focused on that.
You've been focused on a lot of goals because you're multi-passionate. You know, we've talked about this, and this has also led you. Can you share a little bit about what it's leading you to with health coaching? Because the last we touched base, you had said you started or were in the middle of your health certification. So what is that like for you?
Yeah. So I just got certified in health coaching.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. It was an intense course. I learned so much, and now I just want to help others do the same thing, because if you're sort of, you know, not sure about what you should eat after a workout, especially, or even not, I mean, you don't have to do a workout. I'm just saying, like, eat healthy to have a healthier life and not have to depend on, you know, prescription meds. It's all in the food that we eat.
Really?
I mean, if you really just think about it. So my transition from those fitness competitions was more of, okay, I did it. Now what? Okay. So now I've learned how to eat, but let me learn more. What else is there to eating, and how many different types of bodies, right? So you have a different body than I do. You know, maybe you're diabetic. Maybe you have high blood pressure. Maybe, you know, you've just been through cancer treatments. There's certain ways to eat to lead a healthier life. So I just thought that was very interesting. And as we age, we have to also think about that. And actually, you know, with menopause coming up for women, you know, it's something you go through, and you have to eat a certain way in order to be at your best.
At your best. So, there's so much research also that what you eat really impacts your brain health, how you focus, your emotions, right? I know if I have a weekend where I'm off kilter, I'm also doing Weight Watchers, by the way, and I love it. I go to the in-person meetings and it's fantastic. But I will recognize if I have more sugar or something, I don't feel as focused and clear. And I know it's, there's so much, just it's fascinating, the connection between gut health and the brain, right? And just all of these different body functions and how they really come together. Something else I wanted
a lot of mind gut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Is clear if it's running well, if everything's running well, your mind is going to be super focused and sharp.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips? There are a lot of women in their 40s and 50s and 60s that listen to the podcast. If you had one great health tip for them, because I know everyone's different, but what is one great health tip you can share?
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. I don't eat anything with preservatives in it.
So
if
smart.
I see preservatives in anything, I don't eat clean.
Mm.
So eating clean, look at nutritional labels. And I do a whole class on this in health coaching. Look at the nutritional labels. If there's something on there that you don't know what it is and you can't pronounce it, don't eat it.
Yeah.
Your body doesn't know how to process that item, whatever it is, whether it's a preservative or, let's take, maldodrugs or some kind of other, like dextrose, something like that. Your body's like, what is this thing? Eat clean and drink a lot of water.
Mm.
Drink as much as you can, and make it interesting, put lemon in it, cucumber in it, whatever it might be. And just walk for 20 minutes a day. So I know that's more than one tip. Sorry.
Well, these are great tips. I'm furiously writing them down. I'm curious also as a woman, like I know now, especially that I'm on this Weight Watchers journey, or I guess they call it WW now. I have to really be mindful. Like tonight we have a couple of events we have to go to, right? So I'm like, okay, how will I manage my points? Because I may not have so much control or if you're running around, you're someone who is so busy all of the time. How do you manage that when you have so much going on?
All right. No, it sounds silly, or maybe it doesn't, but I journal.
And I are like, the more what you're talking, I'm like,
I know it's silly.
You know what I mean? Like it's just, you think,
no, it's not
paper and pen. What? Where?
Right.
But I actually do. I have a little notebook and I write down my breakfast, my lunch, my dinner, my snacks. And then I, on the other page, on the other side, I write down how I'm feeling. Like today was a good day. I was able to manage this. I wasn't able to manage that. Tomorrow I'll do better. Tomorrow's another day. Something that, what you've been through and then what you're going to do next. So
right.
Sort of like that in mind, like as you journal. If anyone were to find my journals, like, what is this? But it's basically like broccoli, chicken, I'm eating, So, it does help because when you write down, it's like right in front of your face. You're like, brownie, where did that come from? Like, why did I eat?
Well, why do I feel bloated? Right.
Right?
Well, why do I feel sluggish? Or why did I have trouble sleeping? All of these things impact us. And as we lose estrogen going through menopause or perimenopause, foods just play such a critical role, even more so. When I was going through perimenopause, I couldn't sleep. I was, my sleep was awful. And so I started doing intermittent fasting and I started being able to sleep. And it was amazing because I was keeping my insulin levels really at bay. And I've recognized that gluten doesn't work well for my body. So I don't eat no gluten at all, but I'm very, very conscientious of not eating much gluten because I know, but I think a lot of times, and why the journaling is so important is a lot of times we're not aware, right?
Right.
So if we bring awareness to how we feel, then we can start eliminating things. And a lot of times there are things that you don't even recognize. Like my daughter is allergic to apples and just became allergic to apples where her mouth gets itchy, but she still will eat candy with dyes. And I can always tell and be like, you had dyes today, didn't you? And she's like, and I was like, I know you did because you're crazy. So it's like really recognizing that. And I think it's a beautiful gift everyone should be giving themselves. And it has nothing to do with weight, but it does have to do with how you perform in your own skin.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking too, because I don't go by weight anymore. I don't look at the scale as much. Every now and then I'll get on just to check myself, just to write it down in the journal, like, oh, I'm this much now. Okay, whatever. You know, it's just, it's how you feel. And if you keep eating the way that you should, clean eating, then you should be on the right track. With sugar, that's funny you say that. I just remembered last month I did a 21-day eliminating sugar and alcohol. So no sugar, no alcohol. And I committed to 8,000 steps a day. Ooh. Just made a goal. Listen, it was nothing like nobody set me up for this. I just decided. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, 21 days. You could do anything for 21 days. And if you do it for 21 days, it'll become a habit.
Yeah.
So I did no sugar, no alcohol, 8K steps a day. On the maybe 13th day, I finally rounded the corner. It was hard.
Yeah.
Because think about it, almost everything has sugar. Now, I did not, you know, limit myself to fruits. I did have fruits. Fruits are natural sugar. It's fine. But thinking to myself, my coffee, I put a little sugar in there. So instead, I put cinnamon in there. Okay. So listen, I'm off that right now, but now I use so little sugar, you could hardly, like literally not even a quarter of a teaspoon, but I just need a little.
Yeah.
So now I don't even want it.
Right. That's the fascinating
part. It's a two-week thing. And it's, I always say that if you can get through the first 2 weeks of anything, it's so much easier than to the point of the habit, and your body doesn't crave it as much, especially sugar. Our body craves sugar and it's so bad for us. I mean, we talk about this all the time and it's addictive and also, you know, cancer cells and all of those things, but it's unrealistic for a lot of people to not eat any sugar, but if you really limit it, it can make such a tremendous difference on your body.
I'm curious.
My skin was clearer. Yes. My thoughts were clearer. I don't know. Just it sounds weird. Everything worked better.
It's the truth. I have a friend that it was Halloween and his kids, I don't know. They had like, you know, all their candy, and he left them a note before he left for work. Sugar is the enemy of the body. It really is, though. Yeah. You know, it really makes me angry when I see how these marketers, they market to kids. It's a drug. It's a drug. It's really, it's something that I think we need to see more changes and more regulations, quite frankly.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's what I call poison.
You know?
So, you know, when you have a slice of cake, would you eat poison on a plate? Is that, you know, what you want? Listen, you can have a couple of teaspoons of the cake. Fine. You know, if you want it, if you feel like you need it, okay, a little bit. Just don't go overboard.
Right.
That's exactly right. It was funny when my daughter was younger, she was diagnosed with ADHD. So we cut out gluten, we cut out dyes and everything from her diet. And we're in Costa Rica and Peyton's like, I love mom. Can I have these M&Ms? I was like, Peyton, you know, you can have an M&M. She's like, but they look different. And in Costa Rica, they do not allow dyes. So it was all natural colors, turmeric and things like that.
Oh, wow.
Like, here we are in the USA where we are one of the leading countries in everything. And yet we allow dyes in our foods for no reason. So it's just fascinating. We could talk to you forever.
I just have one quick last question that's been coming up like over and over, because we've been talking just about your goals and your discipline. And I can so appreciate that. I love hearing about that. I'm curious though, how do you stay on track in those first 2 weeks, or when it feels like, oh, you know what, this is like just too much? What do you do to keep going?
I think if you write down your focus, like why you're eating, you have to find your why. Why are you doing this? Are you doing this for yourself? Are you doing this because you want to lose weight? Are you doing this because you want to feel a certain way? Figure out your why first. What's your goal? Why are you doing it? And for me, it's, I know it's silly. It's again, like, but it's just something that I like to challenge myself.
Yeah. It feels good.
If I could do it.
Yeah.
So for me, that's my why. I think to myself, all right, well, I want to know, can I do it? Mm-hmm. And I want to know, what's the end result? Am I going to feel better? And if I do, and I get that sort of notion in my head, like, okay, this is the way I felt on the 7th day, 8th day, 9th day, then I can give that education to others.
Yeah.
Be able to tell them, okay, listen, this is what happens. You're going to feel like you want that sugar. You're going to feel like you want that brownie, ice cream, or whatever it might be that you want. But just hold off. It's just 21 days. Challenge yourself. Say to yourself, okay, I want to do this because I want to lose 2 pounds, whatever it is. I don't know. Whatever your goal is. But have that be your laser focus. Write it down in your journal. Write it down. And if you don't have a journal, write it down on your refrigerator. Yeah. Write it down where you could see it every day at your desk.
Yeah,
right. You know, figure out your why, your goal, and you say to yourself, okay, got to get there. I just got to do it. And it's just 21 days. It's not forever. It's not like you say, no more brownies forever. No, of course not. You know, life happens. You go to parties. There's going to be a brownie there.
It's not the enemy.
Well, it also,
all the time.
Right. It also allows us to get through that cognitive dissonance, right? Because sometimes when our goals are so big, our brains can't buy into it. So if you could chunk, you know, we talk a lot about how you can chunk things down. So if you could chunk things down into 21 days, or just, you know, just don't drink. If you're going to have alcohol, just have a glass of wine a week, right? Like it's just, what can you get behind so you can get buy-in? And for some people, it may look a little different, but it is about finding that place where you're challenging yourself, but you also can believe you can do it. And then once you do, it changes everything, because that dopamine overpowers the dopamine of the sugar. And that's the most, I think, impressive thing when you're going through it, is because that win, that achievement dopamine is so much more powerful than anything sugar can give you.
It is, definitely.
Yep. Yeah. So Antoinette, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You are an inspiration. I love, you know, when I know that you're on, I come running in and I have to watch you, because I get excited. I'm sure you recognize this, but you feel like when you see people on TV on a regular basis, you feel like you know them, right? Mm-hmm. And when life gets crazy and the news is crazy, when it's shared by someone that you have that relationship with, it makes me feel better, right? Because I feel like you're a friend. So
certainty,
I just wanted to say, I just wanted to say thank you for all of your work, your service. And thank you for also just being so inspiring and sharing your story on how you continue to grow and challenge yourself. I'm inspired and I can't wait.
I feel like I need a new fitness.
Yeah.
I love to work out, but now I feel you've inspired me to start a new fitness challenge. So, and I think I'm going to have to hire you in September to be my health coach. So we have to talk.
Do I have to keep you guys accountable? Do I have to put you on the list?
Yes.
I love to work out, but I know I know my foods, but I think that there could be a way to challenge my foods even more. So I'm in.
Thank you guys so much for allowing me to talk to you and to do this. I think it's so wonderful what you guys are doing to bring, you know, Gen X women out to the forefront. So I feel very blessed to have known you guys and to do this. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Antoinette. Modern Gen X Women is the podcast created with you in mind. If you're inspired by this episode, please leave us a review. It's so important. Look, we know it's not easy for you to stop and go over and leave a review, but it is so appreciated by Mimi and myself. And it really helps other amazing Gen X women like you find us so that they too can become the modern Gen X woman.